Now I have about 20 minutes to do the message, so we're going to go right into it. We are looking at a new series, and it's a series on prayer. And I think it's important for us to learn to pray. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been a believer, you still need to learn more things about prayer. I've been learning for many years, haven't learned it all yet, but I'm going to pass on to you some of the things God has taught me. So for the next 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at prayer. And if you don't like prayer, then you stay home and listen to somebody on TV or whatever. But I think you will enjoy these messages because I'm trying to give you some practical applications to prayer. Because many of us struggle with the whole issue of prayer, how to pray. And if I have to pray in public, what do I say? And that makes me nervous. And many times we don't have time for prayer. And the only kind of prayers we ever do are emergency prayers. And yet Jesus taught us about prayer, and we're going to focus on that this morning. Over the years, the Lord has taught me much about prayer. I've written a book, and that book is at the back for each one of you to take one and take it home. And I also have a 3-minute timer there for you to take home. And for the children, I have a gift back on the back table. It's a what I thought was a 1-minute timer. I clocked it this morning, and it's a 10-second timer. So you get to have 10 seconds of prayer time. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6, and reading the teaching of the Lord Jesus on prayer. It's a very important passage, and I think all of us need to pay attention. We know the Lord's Prayer, but often we forget the context of that and what the Lord was saying about it. Beginning our reading in Matthew chapter 6 with verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Stop there. I want you to mark your Bibles. 3 times Jesus says, when you pray. And when he's repeating something 3 times, it needs to be emphasized. So in your Bible, underline, when you pray. And then as I read this, I'm going to stop after I say, when you pray. And I want each one of you to look to the person next to you and point your finger at them and say, when you pray. Can you do that? Because Jesus wanted this to be practical for everybody, not for preachers, not for priests, not for the very elite. It is for every Christian. So let me try that again. And when you pray, you have to scold somebody, put it right in their face so they get it. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen of men. But I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your closet or your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And we can do the Lord's Prayer again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now, all of you know the Lord's Prayer, and I know that because we recite it every week. And it becomes very obvious that we know that Lord's Prayer, but if you read carefully what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, I want you to pray after this manner. He didn't say, I want you to pray this prayer repeatedly. He didn't say, I want you to memorize this prayer, or I want you to use this prayer in church. It's fine to do that. It's okay to do that, and it's good to do that, but that's not what he was saying. What Jesus was saying is, I want you to pray after this pattern. And so as I teach you the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at that pattern of the Lord's Prayer and how the Lord says we should pray. And we break it down to simple things. He spoke to the disciples and he said, when you pray, I want you to enter into your closet and pray and close the door. Stop there. Don't raise your hands. It's a rhetorical question. How many of you have a prayer closet? How many of you go into your room every day and spend time alone with God? The reality is most of us pray when we need to. We pray when we get around to it, or we pray when we have an emergency. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I want you to develop an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Most of us know something about prayer besides the Lord's Prayer. My mom was the first one that taught me to pray. Do you remember what your mom taught you to pray? Mom would come to our bedside,
She'd get down on her knees right next to my bed, and she'd say, "Now pray these prayers. Now I lay me," you can say it with me, "now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God bless mommy and daddy and uncles and aunts and grandpa and grandma," and on it goes. And my grandson can go through about 25 names on that. That's a pretty good prayer. And if you're not praying anything, that's a prayer to pray. And then back in my day, you could pray in school, and before lunch, we always had a prayer that our teacher would lead us in. And it goes like this, and say it with me if you know it. "God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. By Thy hand we all are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread." Some of you are smiling like, "I haven't prayed that in years." Well, it's a good little prayer, and you can pray that when you sit down at mealtime. I am shocked how little we pray. Even though we know how to pray, we know some basics of prayer, but I've been shocked by my own family sitting around the table and diving into the food without stopping to pray. God wants us to learn to pray because prayer is about an intimacy with God. There's three things I want to point out about the passage this morning. First of all, the problem of prayer. Jesus said there's a problem with prayer. He talked about the hypocrites that stand in the street corners and love to pray long prayers. And they lift up their hands. These were the Pharisees. They loved to show off their religiosity. They even wore garments that could show that they were spiritual. Jesus said, "I don't want you to show off when you pray. I don't want you to be like that." Then he said, "Don't be like those hypocrites. And don't be like the world. Don't be like the pagans who just pray prayers to ask God for stuff." And every religion, people pray, and they're always asking God to do things, asking God for stuff. Jesus said, "I don't want you to pray like that. You're different. You have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He is your Heavenly Father." So three times in this passage, Jesus said, "When you pray," and three times He said, "Your Father in heaven, your Father in heaven, your Father in heaven." We need to develop a relationship with our Father in heaven. That's what praying is about. Praying is the way that we express our love for the Father and get close to Him. So the problem with prayer was really a serious problem for the Jews in that day, and it's a serious problem for us in our day, because the Lord wants us to pray as we ought to pray. And yet many of us pray begging God for stuff. I was at a retreat with pastors, and it was a retreat on intimacy with God and how to get to know the Lord and to love Him in prayer. And we went through several hours of teaching and training. And as we sat in a breakout session with one of the pastors, he looked up at the leader and he said, "I didn't come here to learn about intimacy with God. I came to learn how to pray and get God to do stuff and get God to give me stuff." This was a pastor. And if pastors have that attitude, how much more do we fall into that same pattern? We treat God as a Santa Claus. We bring Him our list of all our wants or needs. Or we treat Him like the genie of lamp. "Lord, I gave my offering this morning. Please bless me." Or we say, it's like the wishing well. We take our prayer requests and throw them in the wishing well and hope something good comes out of it. But we don't think too much about those prayer requests. Or we treat God like the Social Security Administration. "I invested in Him, and therefore He owes me something." It's kind of, God owes me dues because I went to church and I prayed or I gave an offering. And that's not what Jesus wants us to do when we pray. And many of us only pray when it's the last resort. When things are desperate and we can turn nowhere else, we pray. So there's the problem of prayer. In James chapter 4, it says, "When you ask and do not receive, it's because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures." That's the problem of prayer. The second thing I want to point out is the purpose of prayer. There's a problem of prayer, but there's a purpose of prayer. Jesus said, "When you pray, your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, and your Father knows what you have need before you ask Him." His emphasis is your Father, your Father, your Father. Now, many of you probably didn't have good fathers. Not everybody has great fathers. But when God talks to us, He says, "I am the good Father. I am the loving Father. I am the Father that goes after the lost sheep. I am the Father that cares for you. I am the one that holds you in my arms and embraces you." In the New Testament, we call Him Abba Father. That was the old Greek and Hebrew word for father, Abba. It meant daddy. Daddy. And so when we come to God, He's our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Daddy. I grew up in a big family. My dad was not intimate. My dad was not close to us. My dad sometimes did things that weren't appropriate.
and I can't ever remember having my dad hold me. I can't ever remember my dad touching me. I remember when I was a little boy, my younger brother, I think he's about 4 years younger than I am, that I came into the living room and Tommy was on Daddy's lap. And Daddy was in a rocking chair and he was rocking Tommy. And even at that age, I looked at that and I thought, he never did that with me. I never had that intimacy with my father. So when somebody talks about Heavenly Father and you didn't have an intimate relationship with your father, it leaves you kind of lost. But Jesus says, God wants to love on you when you pray. Here's a quote that I have in my book. Prayer is not about asking, but prayer is about basking. It's not about asking, but it's about basking. Now, we're ending summer, but one of the things you do at the beginning of summer after you've gone through a terrible winter is you go to the beach and you strip off your clothes, not all of them, you strip off your clothes and you bask in the sun. You lay on one side, then you flip it over to the other side. Why? Because you want to get tanned. You want the sun to expose some tanning on you. You want to look different because you've been exposed to the sun. And the Father says, that's what I want you to do in prayer. When you pray, I want you to enter into the closet, to bask in the presence of God. I want you to get into the closet so you know the Father. See, many of us don't know the Father at all because we've never entered into a personal relationship with Him. You don't know the Father just because you go to church. You don't know the Father just because you read the Bible. You don't know the Father just because you like Jesus or you have accepted Jesus. You know the Father when you receive Jesus, His Son, into your life. The word in the Bible is not accept. That's kind of a knowledge thing. You accept the facts of Jesus. You accept the facts of 9/11. Doesn't change you at all. You accept the facts that there are laws that you need to obey, but that doesn't change you. God doesn't want you to follow laws. He wants you to follow Jesus. And so He said that every one of us, but as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to be called the children of God, even to them that trust in His name. Prayer is about loving God. That's the purpose. It's about loving God. Francis Chan has written a book called Crazy Love. I encourage you to read it. In one of those chapters, he said, when you are truly in love, you go to great lengths to be with the one that you love. You drive for hours to be together, even if it's only for a short while. You don't mind staying up late at night to talk. Walking in the rain is romantic, not annoying. You willingly spend a small fortune on the one you're crazy about. And when you are apart from each other, it's painful, even miserable. He or she is all you can think about. Isn't that true? Some of you say yes. All the women are saying yes. The men are going, not too sure. I remember when we were in college, Marilyn and I started to, quote, date. We didn't really date, but we just got to know each other. And Marilyn, who's not a walker, decided that we ought to take walks around the mountain where our college was. It was probably a 5-mile walk. And so we'd start to take walks. And our walks weren't about romance initially. It was about getting to know each other. And we take those walks and walk for 5 miles. Can you imagine 5 miles? Can you imagine Marilyn walking 5 miles? And we wouldn't walk fast. We'd walk slow. I remember the first time we went out for that walk. Marilyn said, let's go for a walk around the mountain. And I'm, come on, let's go to it. I'm going, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. She's back there going, no, I want you to walk with me. Let's talk. And so we slowed down, and I had to slow down and be with her. And you know, I didn't find that annoying. I found that refreshing. And the more we did walking, the more we got to know each other. Pretty soon it was that day when you put your hand down and touch her hand. And then we started holding hands and walking around the mountain. It got better and better. And the more we walked around the mountain, the more we got to know each other, the more romantic it became. And I remember the one day that we stood by a little wall, and I was nervous because I thought, I want to kiss her. I don't want to be rejected.
I don't know if it's right. I don't know how to do this. Do you lean to the right? Do you lean to the left? So I'm thinking about this, and the right moment comes, and she's looking at me with those eyes that just say, oh, I love you so much. And I'm looking at her, and I thought, well, here's the moment. Boom, 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 boom. I lean forward. She leans forward. I tip my head. She tips her head. And we kiss for the first time. Ooh, the chills up and down your spine. The relationship is being built. That's what it's all about. And then came that day when I asked her to marry me. That's another step in that relationship, to make it a permanent relationship. God in Christ Jesus has made a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And He wants you to fall in love with Him. He wants you to fall in love with Him and spend time with Him. And that's how we do that. That's how we become faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. By not just being like the world, but being in a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, the Lord Jesus has a plan. He has a problem that He addressed, He has a purpose that He addressed, and He has a plan for our prayer life. When you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father in secret. Now, I've been in church all my life, and I've been a Christian for many, many years, came to Christ as a little boy, rededicated my life to the Lord at 16, went to Bible college and studied and got my ordination and everything else. And my first pastorate, I preached and taught on prayer in my ministry over in Brazil. I preached and taught on prayer, came back to Pittman, New Jersey, and I remember I had a closet of prayer. And I'd go into my closet of prayer, and I would take usually my chair, and I'd sit in my chair and say, okay, now I'm going to spend time with the Lord. So here I go. I sit down and I go, okay. Dear Lord, blah, 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 blah. Dear Lord, blah, 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 blah. Dear Lord, blah, 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 blah. And I'd run out of blah, blah, blah. Did you ever do that? You run out of things to pray. So I thought, well, maybe if I get on my knees, that will work better. So I got on my knees, and then I'd go to the Lord in prayer, and I'd have a little list, and I'd go, blah, 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 blah. I ask you for this, guys, for that. And then pretty soon I'm going, do you ever have that happen? Am I the only one? No, you fall asleep on prayer. Why? Because prayer is boring. It's really boring. And I remember one day I was doing that. I was actually on the floor on my stomach. It made it easier to sleep. I was on my stomach before the Lord. Put a towel down so the dust mites don't get up in my face. And I laid on that towel and I was praying and I fell asleep. And I woke up and there was drool all over my face and all over my Bible. And I got up and I said, Lord, this can't work. I'm teaching people about prayer and I don't even know how to pray. I can't even stay awake when I pray. So teach me to pray. Help me to pray. I need to know how to pray. And at that moment, the Lord just spoke to my heart and He said, do you really want to know how to pray? And I said, yeah, I really do. Show me in your word. Show me in your word. So I opened the Bible and I said, show me how to pray. And I came to Psalm 46:10 and it said, be still and know that I am God. Do you know that's the first principle of prayer? Jesus taught it in the Lord's Prayer. He said, go into your closet, shut the door, be still, be quiet. Don't say anything. Just be with the Father. So I looked at that and I thought, well, that's a great idea. So the Lord just impressed my heart. The first step of prayer is to be still. Learn to do that. So every day for the next 2 weeks, I was on the floor trying to get still. But I'm ADD or ADHD. I'm hyperactive. So it's very difficult for me to get still. This is not a thing that belongs to me. So I'd get down on my knees or I'd get on my face before the Lord and I'd start to pray. And pretty soon I'm asking for stuff, and I remember the first time I tried to be still, I laid on the floor like this, and I'm sitting there just trying to not say anything, just be quiet. My legs start moving. Pretty soon my back starts twisting, and I'm doing this and this and this, and I couldn't stand it. It was so awful. And I did that for about 2 weeks, and I could not get still. My mind is busy. I'm always thinking of things to do. And so I said, Lord, this doesn't work. I got up and went downstairs to the refrigerator. And then I looked at the coffee pot and I thought, well, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. That'll help me stay awake. So I got the cup of coffee. I looked at the refrigerator and there was a 3-minute timer on the refrigerator with those magnet timers. And the Lord impressed me and said, just take that upstairs. And I thought, why? And so I did. I took my coffee and I took the 3-minute timer upstairs and walking up the stairs, and the Lord whispers to me, and just hear Him saying, I want you to pray with a 3-minute timer. Can you be still for 3 minutes? And I thought, yeah, piece of cake. Here, I thought it was like half hour, an hour. And so I go upstairs and I take the little timer and I'm excited now. Yeah, I could be still for 3 minutes. Here I go. I get down on the floor. Of course, a towel down there to protect me from the dust mites. And I put my timer up there and I go, okay, now I'm going to be still. Is this thing working? I wonder how many grains of sand are in that. I wonder if it's actually 3 minutes. I wonder if it needs to be burped every once in a while. And so it went all through my 3 minute time, and finally, after 3 minutes, which seemed like a half hour, 3 minutes, I was done. And I said, thank you, Lord, I was still. And the Lord said, no, you weren't. Try it again. So I would do that. I would flip that thing 12 times during my prayer time. I don't encourage you to do it that long, but I was trying, and I never succeeded for 2 weeks. But then after 2 weeks, there was one day in which I flipped over the timer and actually did get still and quiet before the Lord. And while I was being still like that, it felt like Jesus walked into the room. I can't express how deep that emotional experience was. It was like Jesus' feet were right in front of me as I laid on the floor. And I felt like I was being lifted off the floor and just carried into His presence. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I've never experienced anything like that, except when I took Vicodin one time for pain. Kind of the same kind of feeling. But it was an awesome feeling. And I said, Lord, this is awesome. And I looked at my timer and it was already expired. So I went to flip it again and the Lord just touched me and said, I just wanted you to experience what quietness is like. I'm here every day for you. If you will just discipline yourself to be still and know that I'm God. And so that began the process of learning to pray all over again. Not easy, but with a 3 minute timer, it was very, very helpful for me. And so I would do what I continue to do is the first thing in the morning, I get up and make my coffee. And that's biblical. Hebrews 1, I brew 1. So I get my coffee. So those guys got it. You guys didn't. I take my coffee and I go down to my prayer room, which is where I study, but I don't sit on my desk. That's my business place. I sit under my futon. I sit down. I put my coffee beside me and I take a deep breath. I say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Help me to be quiet. Not ask for anything. Not talk to you. Just to be still. And so I'm breathing slowly and I'm listening to God. I'm just trying to be still. It's not easy. But as I'm waiting there, not singing songs, not thinking of Scripture, I'm just waiting on God to come into the room and whisper to me. And I wait until He does that. Often I have my big Bible on my lap and I don't know where to turn. I don't want it to be a study time. So I wait till the Lord prompts me, and then when He says it's okay to look into the Word, I start thumbing through and say, show me where. And so many times God leads me to passages that are rich and wonderful. It's like He's speaking directly to me. It's an awesome experience. And yet most Christians don't experience it because we haven't learned the first step of prayer. Be still and know that I'm God. If you're like me, you're hyperactive. You run, you're busy, and your mind is running a mile a minute, and you've got a real serious problem now. It's called a cell phone. Do you know how addicted we are to cell phones? You go to a football game or you go to any auditorium, what are people doing? They're always looking at the phone. Oh my goodness. We do that throughout our day, and then we say, I don't have time for prayer. You know, God's not asking for a lot. But He's asking you to take 3 minutes out of your day and learn to be still. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to discipline yourself every day to sit down with God with a 3 minute timer and ask Him to empty your mind of all clutter, all the busyness, and all the things that scream for your attention and say, Lord, I'm here for you. I want to listen to you. And I'm not leaving this place until you speak to me. You'll find that God loves that. Jesus said so. He says, the Father longs to have fellowship with you. So I want to give you a challenge. There are 3-minute timers back there with the 6 steps that come from the Lord's Prayer. The first one is be still. I want you to take the book. You can read the book if you want, or you can burn it. I don't care what you do with it. But there is a judgment seat. I want you to take the book home and read the first chapter about being still. You know, read it page at a time if you can't read large portions. But it's a simple book, and the first part is about being still. And you need to learn it. You'll hear about my experience. You'll hear about other people's experience. And then every day, take this 3-minute timer and sit before the Lord, lay before the Lord, do whatever you're going to do in a closet of prayer, and turn it over and let 3 minutes go by. When I'm teaching this in a seminar, I actually do that and hold it for 3 minutes and let you feel what 3 minutes is like. 3 minutes feels like an hour, but it's not. 3 minutes, it's usually, do you know the advertisements on TV take about 5 to 6 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good time to just leave the TV and go sit in the bathroom somewhere and flip over the timer and say, Lord, I'm here for you right now. So my challenge to you this morning is that first step of prayer. Be still and know that I'm God. We love our time. We spend it as we choose. God gives us 24 hours. But most of us do not choose to spend time with Him. There was a woman that came to Jesus with an alabaster jar. She had been a sinful woman, and she came in before Jesus, and all the disciples were there and other people. And after the dinner was over, she came in and she knelt at Jesus' feet, and she took that alabaster jar of ointment, which the scripture says was worth a year's wages. Think of that. And she broke it open and spilled it on his feet and on his head, and then she wiped his feet with her hair. And one disciple spoke up and said, "What a waste!" It was Judas. Judas said, "What a waste, Lord. That could have been sold for a year's salary. It could have helped us with all of our financial needs." And Jesus said, "Be quiet. She has done what none of you have done. She's given me her very best." And I want to challenge you to give the Lord your very best, which is just 3 minutes a day. Give Him those 3 minutes. Sanctify those 3 minutes. I don't care where you do it. You can do it in your bathroom. You can get in your pickup truck and go out to a lonely spot and just sit alone. But don't try to do it while you're driving. You can't text and drive, and you shouldn't be praying and drive. Well, you can pray, but you can't be still while you drive. But just find a way of doing that. Kids, I've got it's not a 3-minute timer, but you're welcome to take one. I've got little timers there for you guys. It takes about 5 or 10 seconds for that. You could start practicing being still before the Lord. And boy, some of you need it. Amen. I'm going to pray, and we're going to close with a song that's on the recording. And then I'm going to ask you to go prayerfully. And don't forget to stop at the table. And, of course, sign up for all the things you need to sign up for. But begin a process of changing your prayer life by letting God enter in. Lord, right now, we just pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
One day, a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the score. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of my most
Would you stand with me for a closing prayer, please? Heavenly Father, as the disciples came to you and said, teach us to pray, we come to you and ask that you would teach us to pray. Teach us to want to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us to enjoy this thing called prayer. Father, I pray that you'd use these simple lessons, these 3-minute timers, to teach us to spend time alone with God. Go with us now and grant us your benediction. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.